The wings, but God strengthened me on the inside. Come on, something had to give. My desire to seek the Lord in the fast was stronger than my desire to eat a chicken wing.
Hallelujah.
And so I didn't eat. And now we're here today.
Maybe. See, I said you were probably telling me that I shouldn't have talked.
No, you're good.
I probably shouldn't have received that right now.
Come on.
How's it
going?
Wingstop wings.
Okay. Are you here to see Joey?
Went by Wingstop?
My friends had Wingstop. Oh, yeah. Now, I was hanging out. Yeah. After my meeting and stuff, whatever. Yo. So we start praying, right? Oh my gosh, this is crazy. I start meeting with praying and stuff. So one girl's praying and she starts crying. Like, look, you know, it's normally like, God, we just love you. But she starts like weeping and like groaning, right? So then she breaks it out. The chemist minister starts explaining like, what's happening. Some people are like, well, what's going on? So he talks about interceding and like how God uses like the travail and all that, whatever, right? And so he was like, what's my else I want to pray? I'm supposed to pray next. And I was like, well, you need to pray about certain things because y'all just covered that. So I'm like, you still want to pray? He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I started praying and I felt, man, it was powerful. I start praying. The girl starts crying even more. Then someone starts laughing uncontrollably. Joy of the Lord hit him out of nowhere. So my eyes are closed. I wouldn't stop. No. This is our meeting.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And
okay.
So, I can't get it too. Yeah, but I was finished. So he starts laughing. And like, you know, I'm like, yo, God is really moving. And on my right side, I felt like a cold wind. Like, but it felt like so free, like light, you know, like, man, God was really, man, he was nice. Sitting in the place, man. And it was just random because like we didn't really like, we just praying over stuff for the school, you know, for UCF and stuff, whatever. But God really started to like, it was that, like, even before we started praying, we had a discipleship class. And then we had like a meeting for like the ministry and stuff, whatever, about, you know, advancing all that. Mm-hmm. And before the class ended, we're talking about like just the having, feel burdened for souls. And so he was sharing a vision. I shared like about how people like, you know, you hate to be like judgment day. And then you're in line or whatever, and then you see somebody you could have reached out to going to hell, you know? Yeah. And then we just felt that weight. Yeah. And I shared a story with my friend who died in the drive-by shooting. And I always felt compelled to ask him to come Bible study, but like, man, he, you know, selling drugs, doing this. He don't want to come to a church. And when, on a Friday night, when I had my Bible study I used to do, I get back home, I'm on Facebook or whatever, and he's like talking about some stuff he's going through. I was gonna reach out to him like, yo, hey, what's going on? I go on his page to see what's happening and then find out RIP, and he actually died.
Man.
And that shook me, man.
Wow.
So ever since then, I was telling the people over there, I was like, ever since then, I feel compelled to share the gospel because I never want to be in a place where I didn't say anything about
Come
it.
On.
You know, it's like, man, my friend died in a drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
And imagine if I had, bro, come Bible study. He started coming, he gets saved. What could, like, that could have, because I gave him an invitation to see something different, that could forever alter this history. But I didn't. I'm like, man, he don't want to come.
Yeah.
You know, and then if he came, he could have changed forever.
Yeah.
And so that weight was there, man. I think after the meeting, when we started praying for the campus, praying for UCF and for Rollins College and all that stuff, whatever, that weight was still there. Like, you could literally feel like God was in that room. That man started laughing and she was crying. Then a guy came, they hit him. He, and these people, like, never really seen that experience before. You know, God's seen it a few times, whatever. And so it's like, yo, that was legit, for real, you know.
Awesome.
And so, like, you know, I was like, it was random. I didn't expect to happen. It's like, oh, yo, this is really dope, man.
God will
good.
Show up when you least expect it.
Yeah, man.
When it's just routine, God will come.
Boy, that was so good. But fast forward, Wingstop, my friends, we were hanging out after stuff. Remember our Wingstop? It was fresh, hot, you know. And like, I feel like when they opened the box, like a cloud of, you know, Shekinah, you know, filled the atmosphere.
Oh, my God.
So. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord had a risen to stand in the midst of him.
like a hot dog flood.
Uh-huh. That house was flooded, man. It was flooded all right with that smell.
No, there was like is it Cajun or Louisiana? It's one of those delicious. That's the guy, the lion's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
All right.
Nothing.
More or less. joy. Speak with joy.
I got a joy down in my heart. Hey, down in my heart. Hey, down in my heart. I got a joy.
I am so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus.
What happened to the Bible study?
I don't know.
Rachel Leco? Is it Leco?
Right there. All right, Edwin, I have a question.
Yeah, I was happy to have her back on the...
She was asking about, so the giftings and the, you know, difference between words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Foretelling.
Oh, for like specifically. Oh, yeah, because she's doing the Sean Bowles thing.
Yes.
I put her to the test yesterday.
Oh.
Yes.
Did.
And she did. She spoke into my life.
What was it? What would you consider that to be?
I mean, you were giving me more of this counseling, but there was this. It wasn't like something specific, like words of wisdom or words of knowledge. It was more counseling, and then you could tell that when you were speaking to me, it was prophetically in line with what I would call prophetic. It's just like kind of when you're in line with the Holy Spirit, like you're getting information and insight that is more than just a conversation. Right, so you're kind of giving me, but you know, a part of it's because you know me, a part of it's because you're in the spirit, you're discerning through the information that you have. So I call it counseling.
So one of the things that we would look at prophecy, right, is edification. Just edification itself is a form of prophecy.
That's why some people. Another guy who knows a lot. Yeah.
Who's that?
You.
Oh,
yeah, because
we all just the Bible.
Yeah, but it's different. You're people who are active within the gifting itself, right? You've experienced it, you got history with it. Yeah.
So, like, even just, that's, you know, according to Corinthians, it says for the edification of the church. So prophecy itself, edification is a form of prophecy. Now, that's why you got some people that they don't believe in the giftings, but they believe preaching the word and teaching the word is prophecy, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's all prophecy. That's what some people believe. That's all prophecy is, just speaking the word, preaching the word, teaching the word. But then you got what's the word of knowledge, which is, boom, it's a word that is a knowing. That's something that has happened, that is going to happen, like a knowing. But the word of wisdom is more like a direction, like giving that person direction.
Which is more or less what she did yesterday for me, was spirit of wisdom with counsel, yeah.
And they can really mesh. I mean, they can really mesh together sometimes. That's why, you know, like for instance, people say like, oh, you know, we got preachers and teachers. And I'm like, I don't know what I am. And then Pastor Tim's like, you're a treacher. You know what I'm saying? Because it seems like preacher, I preach, teacher. But sometimes there's a little teaching in there. So it's like, sometimes you see how they'll blend.
It's true.
It's true.
Your delivery is preaching, but your content is teaching.
Yeah. Right. Ooh. And then that's
perfect. Yeah. That's yes. Right there.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. That brings clarity to me.
Wow.
So what was that? With our operating in the gifting of wisdom?
That was, what did I just do there?
Was that edification? Say my name.
That was edification. That was definitely edification. Edification. You edified me. So that was edification. That was a prophecy of edification, right? Because I got edified by that. Edification is, now I understand. Yeah. That's what it is. Edification is not just filling. It's actually receiving and being able to apply. Oh, I can apply that now.
It's not just a fuzzy word to feel good. Edification should bring like form of revelation.
Exactly.
It should build you up. Yeah, because edification is building. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So then you have what's called the foretelling and the forthtelling, right? So the foretelling is like the future. Things that are happening. That's what you have for people like, there's going to be a volcano right there and that's going to blow up and it's happening. And then the forthtelling is can kind of be more on that knowledge base. You know what I'm saying? Like kind of like with the words of knowledge can be more of that forthtelling. It's more like, you know, edification again. That forthtelling is more like that edification, that pouring in.
It's more now.
It could be more now, and it could be more of just like the building up. Like I'm giving you this word, and it's building you up. Like it's empowering you, versus what's gonna happen, which is foretelling, which is this is gonna happen. You go down this road, you know, this is what you're gonna see. Blah, blah, blah. I've had people where we're like several people, you keep going down this road, blah, 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 this is gonna happen. They never stop, and exactly what.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you know, you can know when it's really God, because like that guy doesn't even know that person to know that they're even going down that road. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so you have that.
Oh, I thought that belonged to her. I'm sorry. Keep going. Keep going.
That,
like, you just hit her purse. That's mad rude.
That was dis edification. Yo, pastor got me the other day because I was holding like this, and he's like, "Nice bag." I'm like, "What you talking about, bro? What you talking about?" This bag like this. Bro, I put this bag in the headlock. Who's your uncle? Uncle.
Oh my God.
I don't need this bag.
Come on, man. Huh?
Get off of him.
All he's doing is carrying one little Tupperware in that bag.
I have two fruit, and my little bag is oatmeal.
Oh, man. With the zipper.
That's right there.
That was funny.
Spirit of joy. Spirit of joy.
Receive it more, more, more. Get him so you get it too. Come on, faith.
So what else was there? One of the ones that now there is a discerning. People have discernment, right? Just because we have the Holy Spirit, we have discernment, right? But then, as you know, as he goes in the book, when it talks about the gifting of discerning of the spirits, that's that guy. With the baptism, he's seeing into. Maybe he doesn't really see it, but he can sense the demonic and the angel,
which
whatever.
Reminds me of Paul,
or even seeing
when Paul was being, or it was Paul or Peter, when Paul. They're being followed
Paul, by a girl, yep.
by the girl that was kind of like propping them up, them. And then he was like, even though you're speaking like you're encouraging me, you're actually operating from a demonic spirit. And it's funny how. He was at such a level of maturity where it was like, it kind of didn't bother him until it bothered him. Where he was like, all right, stop.
Yeah.
Like, but he allowed it to kind of like, because his focus was somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was just the swag that he walked with that. Which like, was like, yo, he's like, stop.
And she had grace to right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I'm done. Mm. So then you have that. But there is this a, works, so people were like, oh yeah, I have the gift of discerning.
Yeah, I feel like that can be very like misinterpreted a lot of times because people are like, oh, I discern that this person has a mocking spirit. Or how do I say it? I don't know. Like people, like that's not what discernment is for. There's the gift of discerning of spirits, and then there's like what you said.
Discernment is because of the inward witness.
Yeah.
We have an inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Right. That's where we get our discernment from to do everyday life. But discerning of spirits, that's just like, yo, that's another dimension we're not in the physical.
But it's not bound to bring division, but to bring, it's not to bring division. Like, I feel like a lot of people, I know some people who will tell me, they're like, oh, I just discern that, you know, that I need to stay away from this person. That's not what, I don't believe that that's discernment.
Okay. I mean, it depends on, I mean, for their inward witness. Yeah, that's not discerning of spirits per se.
Yeah.
But if they see, I feel like I have to stay away from this person. That may be the Holy Spirit just guiding them. And you know, again, we have to be careful. Like when we have to be careful that you know that we come and tell somebody this is exact. You know, unless this thus saith the Lord.
Right.
That person has an inward spirit. We can't think that. The Holy Spirit in me is greater than the Holy Spirit in you.
That's great.
Or an Abbey,
yeah, or anybody. Because
sometimes we do that, like children and older, and it's the same spirit.
Now, at the same time, we understand that He's put leaders in place. He's put people in place to give us guidance. And we have that. We have to balance that between the authorities, the leaders, people that have been there, done that. That have experience, but at the same time, those that have experience don't get to a place where you think you know it all. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the balance of it all.
I think when you were here earlier, I was waiting if somebody was going to mention that. The difference when in the prophetic gift when it comes to edifying and when it comes to correction. So the way people was, the way the teaching is taught is basically saying, okay, you have labels, right? You have positions, you have offices. There's an office of a pastor, there's an office of a teacher, and you have the grace for those offices. So if you have the office of a prophet, you can bring forth correction and you can speak from a place of authority that can, that is more
like
counseling
out
of rather than we all have the gift of prophecy, which means it's the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is leading all into like an edification of
and
teachings of
and
what
a lot of
is,
a lot of Pastor Tim's is it can be correction, but it is edification at the same time. Right. When he goes up there, he addresses the whole church. That's edification, even though there's a form of correction there, but it's still edification can be correction. That's like I'll give you an earthly example, but I remember the first time we went to Claremont, we went to go see my wife's friend. Her daughter was playing soccer. She was on the soccer field, and she was the only one just lollygagging. Her mom ran up. I think I said this before. Her mom ran up, Liz. She gave her a smack in the butt. It was motivation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It might have been a smack in the butt, but it was my. And she's like, oh, guess I'm kicking the ball. Yeah. She's like, oh, you know? I'm not out here just to look at the daisies and the bees, you know? Like, you know? So correction can be edification as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is. Unless it's done, you know, that's when we get to the place where it's like, you know, parents, don't exasperate your children. That's like, you know, that's when you do.
Absolutely. Using wisdom with the giftings.
Yes. Right.
Because a lot of times we acknowledge the gifting before we have the wisdom to carry it. Is the unqualified qualified. Like, you know, you have to work that out. And hopefully you have people around you who are grooming and acknowledge your giftings. And you're not out there on your own trying to make sense of these giftings.
Right.
Because that happens a lot, especially in the prophetic.
Right.
Because a lot of times the prophetic doesn't... It's not so common in the church that we lean towards that gifting as something that we bring forth on a Sunday, right? So it's like they gotta find it in a somewhere deeper, whether it's in a book or a smaller groove, and not everybody knows where to go for that. Because you see that commonly as something like that gifting kind of runs a little wild sometimes because it's not stewarded by the
because you
the
know it becomes more about that it becomes, and I think Heverly put that up there, something like it becomes more about the person feeling like this is who I am versus, oh no, I'm coming to serve. Never lose that focus of I'm a pastor or I'm a prophet, this is who I am, versus no, it's about them. I flow in this for them, not for me, for someone else to be blessed, right?
I think the biggest thing for me was that was for me is that like I would see Heavenly, like prophesying stuff, whatever, and I wasn't really like flowing in that yet. And I was like, ah, it's still weird because I grew up how I grew up. And my heart was always a heart of love. Like, I was people like getting wrecked by God, by word of knowledge and prophecy. And I was like, Lord, my prayer is like, let me be able to express your love in a way that people who don't believe can, like, man, I know that God cares about the intimate details of my life through word of knowledge and prophecy. And so for me, like, kind of growing in that gifting.
Making a saxophone.
Stop. Do that. So the biggest thing for me is kind of like, Lord, I don't care if I have a gift. I don't care if I can hear, you know, X, Y, and Z. But if my heart's not there, if I'm not connected with you, I don't hear anything. But because it's easy to get caught up in like a position, get caught up in gifting, and I have the character to kind of sustain that, like you said. And I think a lot of times, like, it's easy when you're in ministry to kind of like wear that, oh, I'm a prophet or I'm an apostle. It's like, what happens to just loving people and serving them? And it's like you get so puffed up with that position or that gifting.
Absolutely.
And then you like, oh, I can hear God for myself. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. And that gets dangerous. Cults start happening.
Right. And but that's you hit it on the nail on the head, because it's like, what does Corinthians say? You could be without love.
1 Corinthians 14, right?
13. Whereas,
well, 13 starts love. I think 14 says 14. Anything...
Gonging symbol.
Well,
yeah. You're just a
13, 14.
Guys. You can die for Christ and still be bad.
And then that connects to that. So that clanging symbol, right? You're just going, that connects to the people that will say, hey, we prophesied in your name. You were a clanging symbol.
Yeah,
it wasn't based on love.
It's good.
Right? Because it wasn't based on love. Because he says, hey, the greatest commandment, love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will be flowing in the gifts through love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you're doing it by yourself. Yes.
So I, just to add to that, to build on prior conversations we had, that's a little side rose with the worship team. We had this conversation yesterday, right? Like we had a meeting yesterday that I wanted to have. So it was Ask the Musicians Only. And we were speaking about it. And as the more we kept going around, you know, discussing what we were going through, it's like, hey, as musicians, we have come to a place where we have so much confidence and so much vibe with one another that when we input our opinions and we're structuring these songs in practice, we tend to almost like strongman the vocalists because they're newer, they're not as confident, they're dealing, you know, they're just creating their own energy right now between them because they're newer. So then we're, you know, we got guys on the keys and they're nasty, you know, guys on the drums and we're playing and it's just like we're ready to kind of like exercise our giftings. This is what we want. This is what we think is best. We have experience. You should listen to us. And which all of that in a sense is not bad. It's bad when you're putting that before serving the person. And we weren't serving our vocalists. We weren't giving them the space to help just groom that. Groom those skills. Because they got the skills. So it's a matter of just kind of grooming confidence to build on that. And we weren't doing that. We were just kind of like, okay, we should do this. Like, we're aggressively suggesting is what they say we would do a lot. So, and bullying almost sounds like bullying. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we have to remember, we left with, at the end of this meeting, it's like, we come here to serve. And right now, our attention needs to be to serve the vocalists. We need to serve them, not to just get caught up in our skill. And, you know, because they're putting themselves on the line because it's their voice that's in the forefront. And I feel like that's something they battle with a lot. So that's why I think the whole thing with love is just like, yeah, are we loving first or are we doing this? Are we getting so caught in the schematics and the technicalities of things and the presentation and the performance of what we're doing in the even what we're producing, the results, that we're not being kind, loving, and bringing others with us? Like, what's the goal, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, we
have the background.
We do mature,
music
for so us. You know. One day okay. We do eventually mature. Moments like that.
You see the contrast between immaturity and maturity developing here in front of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though we do grow to tap into that,
we need to serve them.
To help we're them alone. To we do level. Tap into that. So what else did you have?
I think that's pretty good. I think I feel more clear now. I've just been hearing a lot of people lately. I feel like I myself have been getting easily confused with the different veins, I guess, in prophecy or what comes under that umbrella. And a lot of people have been, I don't know, it's just been something that's been very present in my current season. And just wanted to kind of talk about it.
Okay. So you take, let's say that prophet that came, right? And he was talking to everybody's life, that the forerunner, I think it was, that day, that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, no, no.
It was supposed to be for the eldership
Peter?
Team.
Pastor yeah. Peter. So when he came in, you could see that he was kind of like words of knowledge and edification at the same time. Yeah. Like, you are this person. And then people are like, that is who that person
yeah, yeah, yeah.
is. And then he would start to go from there and more edification. Some of it was...
even the foretelling, because he was kind of telling, hey, this is good. This is what I see happening.
Or foretelling, yeah, yeah. Foretelling.
Foretelling.
I know, it's
yeah, yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
It's language.
At the end of the day, right?
It matters to you.
No, just so that we know.
That's correct. So funny.
No, but it's good. No, it's that's good. The whole reason why I want to have this conversation.
Did I do that in love?
Because I want to know.
No, I mean, when you're communicating, you should communicate. So we know what we're talking. You're confused.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, so telling about things that we're going to come into place, you know? So
Foretelling, yeah.
So Hagen, in his book, Kenneth Hagen, talks about familiar spirits. And he was saying, like, you know, prophets who are, quote-unquote, prophesying and saying, oh, you live in 123 Main Street. yada, yada, yada. He's like, that's a familiar spirit. He's like, how is that bringing glory to God? And I remember when I first read that book, like 4 years ago, 2015, I was like, wow, you're right. But now I see it differently. Because, I mean, I haven't personally encountered that, somebody to say to me, but obviously with Sean Bowles, you know.
But I don't think Sean Bowles is like, because even I was kind of like thinking about it, but I don't think Sean Bowles, he'll say like Spoon Street, but I just think you got to be careful when it comes to like, yo, you're giving out numbers and,
right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? I don't think he really.
I agree with that.
Which he's done sometimes.
I mean, he's given like a few numbers, but not like the whole phone number, not the whole social security. One day I did see him, because I think these past 2 weeks, I don't know why, like I've been watching Sean Bowles. And so he said at one point, he was like, oh, you know, 830 something, the last street. He's like, oh, wait a minute. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Oop, I just gave your whole address. And the lady was like cracking up about it. But anyway, at that time, I understand what Kenneth D. Hagin is coming from. And he's just black and white. He's just that's just who he was.
Right.
You know?
Same thing with Benny Hinn.
Yeah, just very like straightforward. That's that generation, you know?
He's
straight to the point, which is cool. I'm about that. But then I'm like, but wait a minute. Sean Bowles does bring glory to God, because he always comes in with the edification and say, wow, this is what I feel the Lord is showing me, and this is this, and you're doing this business, and you're doing this, and God's going to bless that. God, you know, like all these things. So he does bring edification and glory and honor to God. And his biggest thing, when he even talks about it, is I want people to know, or God wants people to know that God knows them. God knows them by name. He knows everything about them. He identifies where they're at in the season that they're in, to kind of bring that confirmation. And everything is from the love of God. Everything is to really show his love as a papa. Like, hey, I'm here for you. I want you to know that I know you.
Right.
And I know where you are. I'm like, oh, I like that.
Like 3 years ago, sorry, I was with some friends, and
what is this?
I don't know. Anyways, I was with some friends, and so I gave like we were praying. I felt like the Lord led me to give him a word, and so for one of the girls, I was praying for her. Like, well, she's the only girl there, but I was praying for her, and I was like, man, I just heard MacBook, and I heard new car. And I'm like talking about material stuff, because, like, you know, getting this whole like payment, like, it's happening. Like, I never got it, but I really felt that impression. And so when I said that, I felt like, you know, you've been praying for MacBook, specifically for MacBook, and God's gonna do it for you, and for a new car. And she starts laughing, and she says, you know, that, like, you know, that was something you're praying for. This is 2015, January, February this year, late January or early February this year. I sent her a podcast, right? A message. And I talked to her for a good little minute. She texts me saying, hey, just want to let you know that word you gave me 3 years ago came to pass in the last year. I got a MacBook and a free car. And I totally forgot about it. I was like, whoa. So, like, I think that's what you're saying. It really shows people, like, God really does care about the intimate details. Because, like, you think about it, it's like, why would the God who created all this, like, care that I want a MacBook? And it just really shows, like, the love of God. So I think, like, sometimes when I look at Sean Bowles, I feel like sometimes when he does that kind of stuff, it's kind of like, okay, I heard this, that. Raise your hand. Cause I've been to a seminar he did.
Right.
And, like, it's kind of weeded out,
right,
you know?
Right.
And then, okay, he's like, okay, that's definitely me.
Yeah.
And then he'll give more word of knowledge and then pops out of them and stuff. But I just think, like, I don't know. It's weird to get in that weird place, you know?
Because it's such,
like, yeah.
There could be a fine line. Yeah. There could definitely be a fine line. And I think it just...
I can't make it to Zoo.
You know, at the end of the day, it's like you said, bring glory to God. And, but just knowing, like, hey, I'm not gonna, even though you may, let's say he does, that you don't go there necessarily with every detail. Because just because, that's another thing he talks about, just because you know something, just because God's in it, doesn't mean you have to necessarily speak it.
Yeah.
It may not be the season, may not be the time. Yeah.
The thing with Sean Bowles is I feel like he crosses a line where he's famous and he's so accurate. Because what he's doing is what others do. It's just he just throws numbers because he's that accurate. Like, he has that much you know, and people question it, right? Because that comes across very, like, what's the name of people who do this?
Skeptic?
No. Like psychic. It crosses into a line that's very familiar to psychic. And then when you hear psychic, it's like...
Well, that's another thing. That's where a familiar spirit can come in, too. Like, the dead, we're not... Nobody's... Oh, right. The dead person. So I heard this. How you know the person? Well, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So I think even in that, even when we come to these places where it's like, well, this is the enemy working. I mean, there's a sense of thing that we got to understand that all things are birthed by Christ and perverted by the devil. Right, so it is a gifting that's perverted by the devil, which would make you feel like, oh, this is unfamiliar. It's more familiar to this side than that side, but it's not necessarily ownership. You know, like saying, like, and that's why. And I feel like that happens a lot in the church when you start getting that thing where it kind of feels, it feels like some of the stuff that I saw that's not Christian. It makes you feel like, okay, like when people thought hip hop, right? When hip hop was in the churches, oh, this is not Christian, right?
And so,
you're taking something that the devil could have perverted, rock and roll, hip hop, but now hip hop and rock and roll's in our contemporary Christian music, right? So it's like, it's birthed by God, perverted by the devil. Right. So when we get ownership of it again, the church tends to divide in those things. Like,
I mean, I think one thing we can just say, black and white, and we know that it is like I said, going back to, you know, hey, I have my dead grandmother. Oh, I'm going to see what she says. Now, you know that right there, we know that that's right there, that's not of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because there's a scripture in the Bible. Yes.
I don't know. I was just going to say something about that because it's just like, I agree with you, but I used to question that because there is a scripture in the Bible where, I believe it was Saul, he called back, who did he call back from?
No, it was a medium, but the medium was not a believer. The medium was a person that was like a psychic today, and when she... You can't see.
So wait. So what was the question, right? Because we're gonna. Because the story is a story. What's the question that you're having specifically?
Well, no. I mean, I know now.
Yeah.
But before that, I used to question it because I'm just like, I mean, I know that's not of God, like this. But I just wondered, like, why he was able to do that.
Well, and that's the thing, the medium. When the medium calls up Samuel, it says it had the appearance of Samuel. Okay, that Samuel didn't come back to life.
So this is where I would. This is not that I. It's disagreeing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's me saying, hey, what she said. I see a man in appearance. He comes. Now the Bible acknowledges.
Who acknowledges?
The Bible. The writer of that book acknowledges that. What's the name of the prophet? The prophet was... Saul is the king who called for the prophet. What's the name of the prophet?
Samuel,
okay. Right. Then it says, Samuel said, Samuel responded.
Yeah.
Samuel talked to
Saul... From their perspective.
From the writer's perspective.
Yeah,
from acknowledged their just as much as this person has a name. They spoke...
You got to be careful on that because then we can say, Joshua stopped the sun. Right?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people will say, yeah, Joshua stopped the sun. But if you look in the record of Earth stopped on his axis. At one point in history, Earth stopped on his axis. So the writer wrote, Joshua stopped the sun. But what really happened was that the Earth stopped.
Because of the prayer. I think it needs to sign. And we'll let him chime in again, but I that's how I read it. So it's always like, okay, and then you have a scripture in the New Testament where Jesus speaks about the parable, which is not necessarily a true story, but he acknowledges that there's a man in hell calling him to a man in heaven, talking to Abraham, I think it was, and they're having this dialogue so that these dead people are what was considered to be in the spiritual realm after you passed away. There's communication. There's still activity happening, right? So when you partner that scripture with the scripture of the medium talking about Saul and Samuel, it's just like, all right, there's something there. Now we can say, hey, oh yeah, because my belief is that doesn't happen. So therefore, I interpret the scripture like that. I'm more like, okay, but the scripture says this.
Right.
Where else is there? the Bible says that you don't speak to that, you don't bring it. That's part of the story. It's teaching you, hey, you don't do this, right? Like, that's not what you do. And then what Samuel said wasn't like something that Samuel spoke as if he knew. Like, he, hey, I know what you're doing. I know you. I'm responding to you and giving you real information for your situation.
So the thing is this. So we're saying, you got to be careful with that, right? Because, okay, so that one thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're saying... So we're saying that this median, right? We're saying that this median has the power to bring back one of God's people back to life.
Well, I don't think.
So we're saying that God was in line with
that. So, because the scripture didn't say that she brought him up. The scripture said this is coming. Like, almost as if.
Can I? I just want to chime in something. My personal belief is this. I don't think it's impossible for you to do those things. I think we're not supposed to.
Right.
Yeah. I think you can.
But what I'm saying is...
That's a line we're not supposed to cross.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that now we're saying that this person who is a medium, that she has the ability to bring back a child of God back to life.
Well, see, he didn't come back to life.
Okay, to bring...
In spirit.
His spirit. So, yeah. So then we're saying that... Spirits have the ability. People, dead spirits have the ability just walk around.
Well, I just want to.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna. Okay, if you look at it like in the full picture, like he said, like everything's birthed by God, but it's perverted by the enemy, right? So, I mean, my own personal opinion, I feel like it's more so like these things are real, like astrology and all these things. These are the Bible even says there's a lot of things that are happening in the earth that we are not gonna understand. Or I know the scripture, but I gotta look it up.
Yeah.
But there are things that are able to, like Ouija boards. People can call back spirits.
Right, but what spirits are those? Are those dead spirits or are those evil demonic spirits? That are taking form.
So the way that and of course,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the way Samuel speaks to Saul, according to the scripture, according to the narrative, because Samuel spoke to Saul and spoke to Saul of what Saul knew. Not that the medium didn't know any of this. Mm-hmm. Right? Which
but you don't think that
the enemy knows our business just as much as, but he doesn't know the future, right? Like, he knows the now. So Samuel spoke to him, like, why would you do this? Because you do this, I'm now prophesying over you. Your sons are going to do, which then happens, right? So it's just like, okay, that's interesting. But and then we speak.
What about if you can align yourself with things that the enemy has spoken?
But then you're saying but see, that's where I find it is a stress, because I feel like the interpretation that versus you, but the interpretation you're giving is an interpretation of a belief beyond the narrative. You already believe, we shouldn't call ghosts. There's no such thing as ghosts.
No.
There's demons. People are laid asleep in their own zones and they don't cross the zone.
So what do we do with Lazarus when he says, well, send me? No, he said, when the dead man Lazarus died, and he said, send me to my family. He said, the prophets and everything, they're already going to your family.
Exactly. Like, so there's an acknowledgement when Jesus was talking about the parable.
Uh-huh.
There's an acknowledgement that there's activity, there's communication. Jesus comes back with Moses and with Elijah. Like, you have these things where, you know, it says when Jesus rose out of the dead that David, we assume David, right? We assume David, the prophets, they rose out of their graves and ran and were witnesses that saw dead people risen from the dead.
When Jesus went
and they went with Christ, right?
Right.
So there's this very white, black and white, and there's this gray where you see scriptures like kind of allude to like, oh snap, like things are happening around this.
But then we're also saying that a median, not that God doesn't.
Which I don't believe it was the median. I believe that because Samuel came and Samuel spoke and Samuel prophesied as the prophet that he was from the dead in spirit. Like, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it wasn't God, it wasn't an angel, it was a person. That's the problem that we have. The problem is that as a human being who once died is not coming back speaking, that's odd.
Right.
That doesn't seem in line with our belief.
And especially with the medium being the one calling.
Yeah, which I think God can use a donkey.
Absolutely.
And the medium, right? And whatever it is. So it's just like,
absolutely,
there was that moment that it just creates this place where it's
when
like,
the donkey's used, it's not something it's something that's miraculous, but it's not something that we're lining ourselves up with something that's demonic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a question, though. Like, no, I agree with what, like, I totally understand, like, where you're coming from. I'm just trying to figure out, like,
This is a
because he didn't bring him back from the dead. Like, it was just like he was speaking or whatever. But then again, like you said, it was just like God can use anyone. But the only reason, the thing I'm thinking about is when the story of Job, when Satan went to God and he was like going back and forth, and he's like, "Have you tried my servant Job?" Satan had to go get permission to do anything in that realm with him. So I feel like if he can do that and ask God to go do stuff to, you know what I'm saying? Like, God can do, like,
anything. Oh, God can do anything, but she never asked permission. That's one.
And well, they're not showing the whole spiritual aspect of the whole, I mean, we don't know what conversation Satan and God was having while that was going on.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I just feel like the narrative of the story, the words, the way the story is told, for the writer to say Samuel spoke and not acknowledge to say, hey, this is what happened is demonic. A false spirit spoke. A demon came in the place, which we never really hear in the Bible, right? Like, it's the way the narrative writes
and
it.
You don't. The thing is, we don't really get that in the Old Testament.
Oh, but wait, what about
as
when?
Much as we do in the New Testament? The New Testament is when we start to see. You see the angels in the Old Testament, but you don't really see demonic like you do in the New Testament as much. Right. You know?
I was just gonna say, what about when it'll come back to me. It was a scripture that I read. It was about. Keep talking. It'll come back.
Just to add another weird story, right? When I forgot who exactly were the people involved, but when the guy was sent to get on the bones of the guy who died and grab the anointing, so then now there's a teaching in the Bible to go against necromorphia, right? Like, you're not supposed to dig up the dead. The belief of digging up the dead is based upon a scripture like that biblically, when they say, like, or in the denomination of Christianity, this also
you're talking about he fell into his bones,
yeah,
and came back to life,
and came back, and something, you know, and Elijah's whatever happened. Yeah, so it was just bone. Like, okay, like. This is where the Bible
gets out. He was so anointed,
it
was in his bones.
This is, this is so crazy. Like the things of God are so bigger than our religion has given us for so long. Growing up in our church, our teachings, they fear the unknown, so they teach something specific that's black and white. But then as we grow, we're like, wait a sec, this is. I've read the Bible for myself, right? Like, this is in, there's things here, and there's more to this. When she talks about astrology, some people say astrology is demonic, which in
from the beginning it's not.
Which in place the psychic reading of astrology, but then God specifically said that He created the stars in heaven to communicate. They're supposed to communicate, so it's just like. There's a thing where you see the essence of God being perverted by everything. And I believe the medium that was not that of God. That's not right. That's not what we do. It taught specifically you don't do that. But the fact that Samuel spoke, it just creates the idea of like, I was just waiting to give her that. The fact that Samuel spoke and the narrative explains that. And there's a lot of mysteries like that in the Bible. When Enoch goes to heaven, or we see this guy go to heaven, it's like the stairs and stuff. It's like, oh, there's more than I do know, right? That the Bible, how do you explain all of these stuff? For me, I'm like, I don't, right? I stay safe. I practice what's clear, what's revelation, and I get counseling. And those things, I don't entertain. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not getting any spiritual inclination to do any of that stuff, right? Like, Holy Spirit is not leading, because then it would be a teaching. Then we would have evidence. We would have witnesses where the Bible says, hey, we're 2 or 3 witnesses. It's just you by yourself. You got to be careful.
I was going to, the scripture was, the question, God sent an evil spirit to Saul when he was dealing with David. So,
to torment him.
Yeah.
Well, when we say God sent, right? Although scripture says
God sent an evil spirit to torment Saul.
But he's the one that opened it up. It wasn't that God chose, I'm just going to send him. No, he opened it up. So a lot of times it's like God sent. It's like we're saying, oh, you know, because God wants to do what he wants to do, that's why he did it. No, he opened himself up to that.
You know what I'm saying? But We can use the same thing to say Job faced circumstances, though considered righteous and blameless and undeserved, God allowed and the spirit of death went to his house and killed his family, killed his sheep, though he didn't open that door, right? It was the enemy who opened that door between God, right? So it's like, So the reason I say that is because the way I interpret you saying it's almost just like, yes, but that's not God's fault. That's the person's fault. But it's just like,
that's why we got trials and tribulations, right?
I think God has a lot more, because and I said this the other day, right? Like, God is a loving God, but he's still the same God who said in Noah, he's like, I regret making these people. Right? So what does that mean? Well, that means that God has personality. God's righteousness and goodness is not what we think it is. Right? We think good and we think nice. And we think favorable. But good and righteous is like, man, there's laws that we don't even comprehend as a God in nature and everything that encompasses that he could make a statement like, I regret making them, but then redeems us through Noah. Right? Like, because that's his heart. His heart, his mercy triumphs over judgment. Like, that's the scripture. So we see
now we have to see the difference also within, because I get that, but now we have to see the difference between Old Testament and New Testament.
But it's the same God.
Same God, but we under a different covenant. Yeah. You know, that's why people say, oh, well, God sent that sickness upon them. Under the new covenant, that would really make God, you know, like,
he can do that.
It would make
because
God,
he's justified to do that within that covenant.
But that would make him a split God. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, that's
now things happen. Yeah. Trials and tribulations do happen. The things do happen to us that, you know, and in part because remember, we didn't have authority back then. We didn't have the authority that we do now. He's given, he's restored. That's a whole different thing. Old Testament, they don't have the authority that they had. It got taken away. Now, authority has been restored to us. It's a whole different ballgame now. So we still, things still come against us. But now we are people of authority in Christ that they didn't have back then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the lenses, it's like looking through the lenses of the Old Testament versus looking through the lenses of the New Testament. Yeah. Under grace, right? Yeah. Under the new authority that we have. Yeah. So we can, that's why you got to be careful. We so many good things in the Old Testament that we can learn from and build off.
So much grace in the Old Testament.
So much grace, right?
Yeah.
But there's no authority per se for everyone. There's not the Holy Spirit living in that. So it's like a whole different way of looking at it, you know, versus the Old Testament. You know what I mean?
So what you said, I was like curious about that, because I remember reading it before, and I remember having the same. I remember having the same question, the same thought, and of course, I think you guys already mentioned it, but it talks about because of Saul's disobedience that he opened that door, and you know he literally disobeyed and rejected God numerous times.
For him to get the prophecy happen,
right? Yeah. So, of course, in reading it, a few different translations, you know, you get to see. Some of it will say, like, a harmful spirit that tormented him. Others will say, now the spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and an evil spirit sent from the Lord began to torment him. There was another one that said that brought, like, fear and depression, you know? So all these different things, I'm like, man, that really reminds me, even for me personally, like, times that I knew the Lord, but I intentionally did not obey the Lord when he called me, hey, come to me. Like, this is it. This is the time, you know? Like, many times, like, time to come home, and I literally turned my back and walked away and then fell into the deepest pit of my life, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, I just kind of related to that. But I love it how in the next verse, or maybe later on in the chapter, it talks about when David took the lyre and played it with his hand. And so Saul was refreshed as well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. So how worship, just coming before the Lord in worship, you know what I mean? He was freed up from that
But anyway, that's a whole other ball game.
Again, I look at scriptures and so I look at principles. Like there's principles within the character of God. Even when we're building to something else right now, which is like who God really is, right? Yeah. Like as far as His intentions, would He or would He not? And there's a scripture that says, "Hey, if sometimes leave that person who's causing you harm, give them up to the devil." Right, and because if in you giving them up and turning your back on them causes them to repent from their sins, right, which we know that the repentance of sins comes from the kindness of God, right? So we understand that God's gonna meet them. It's not our job, but God leaves a lot of these things. Like, hey, you don't have to, like, this idea of perfect or like never quitting, like never, like, you know, like everything needs to be good from the concept of what we think is good. It's like,
yeah,
even God's like, well, I'm bigger than that concept. Yeah. There's principle. There's unknowns. Right. This is how I work. Because what you would judge as bad or what would judge, you didn't understand. Like Pharaoh had a hardened heart. God hardened it more to allow the glory to like kind of build the moment. Yeah. But it started with a hardened heart that was there before God interfered.
Yeah, he wasn't going to change.
But God will harden it more to create the story at the expense of another. Yeah. Right? Because God knows.
But he still chose it. He still, yeah. I mean, he gave him several chances. Yeah, okay, absolutely. You don't want a chance?
Absolutely.
Now it's full blown, you know
God
what I'm
is
saying?
Not taking and people if, who had a chance of repentance
right.
and then giving them no chance. On the contrary, God is just knowing there's wickedness, there's evil, there's good in people as well. Because your desires for temptation doesn't come from an enemy evil spirit coming. This is your own inner sin desires are enticing you to be disobedient. So you're accountable for that. So he can even use your disobedience for his glory. So yeah,
that's good. You were going to say something?
Oh, no. I was saying like that makes sense what you were saying. Like he opened that door, you know?
Right, absolutely. God's not, you know. And we have one instance in Job where you don't, that's not the constant. You don't see that as the constant throughout the Bible. That's one story.
It shouldn't become the always. Because there's a lot of things that God, oh, he didn't do that here. He did this here. He did this here. But we do understand that God is working. And he did that with and he redeemed.
Right. And at the end of the day, he had a greater outcome, right?
These are our lunch breaks, guys. Stay tuned.
Next. Bro, wait a minute. You just had a black one on. Let me turn this mess around like that, bro.